FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Well, good afternoon. This is The Ultimate Remedy. My name's L.B. Bork. Hope everyone's having a great week. Today's show is May 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2010. Well, I've had an interesting week. I made a bunch of decisions that were a long time coming. Again, I'm disappointed in people, as you I was supposed to have someone come on today and talk about real estate, and basically that's going to be the topic of discussion today, our estates. I have been telling people for the past several years that, you know, you really don't own your own property. If you're in the system, the IRS, etc., you know, and have it registered with the state, the current governmental system, they're going to take it from you. So people are trying to save their homes right now that they technically don't even own. Basically, what I've boiled down to is Rome is burning while Caesar is fiddling around. I don't know. Maybe I didn't say that quite right. I think it is Rome burned while Caesar. Help me, Greg.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. But actually,
yeah,
he started the fire.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into those details a little bit here. The point is, in America, people are supposed to be the sovereign body, and they aren't. They've traded their estates for a beer and a flat screen TV. And that's all they care about, and it's really pathetic. And again, we're going to be talking about that. I kind of had to give it away here. Brother Gregory is the mystery guest today. He came in on the last minute. Gee, the only guy that had time today at the last minute, because he is one of the few people that isn't fiddling around. Everyone else has something to do. They're trying to save what they can't save because they really don't own it. And as I've talked about in the Red Amendment, been saying for over 12 years now, based on my research, and of course Brother Gregory can back that up because he's been doing this, I think, at least almost three times longer than I have, or at least twice as long in regard to being out there doing things properly, including having children that do not have the Social Security numbers for being part of that of doing things right. There's a lot of people out there that just don't understand. They're trying to put the fire out, so to speak, at the last minute without trying to get their things in order to be properly positioned to do things right or have status or standing to fight issues. And unfortunately, people don't listen. You know, people have heard me complain about this for years now. It's getting very old for me. I know you're probably tired of hearing it, but I'm tired of having to say it because no one's listening. And so, like I stated, there's going to be a lot of changes for the coalition. I know Gregory has worked towards this in regard to getting commitment from people. There's a lot of people out there that aren't willing to make commitments and doing the right thing. And I know some of the information that the church has that Gregory is trying to get together is contingent on participation. Well, we're going to start doing something to that effect. A lot of people out there are trying to do things. They think they're acting of right when they're taking benefits, and they had no access to that estate, if you will. And basically, that's what we're going to be talking about, how people have been tricked in or tricked out of their lawful or lawful estates and put into a legal one. And the details surrounding that. And with that, like I said, I gave up the mystery guest position here or identity. But again, Brother Gregory from His Holy Church is joining us. How are you today, Brother Gregory?
Busy.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for an hour aside to go over these issues. You heard all the introduction. I didn't do it very well. My mind's so scattered with this and that these days, and my writings are a lot better because I have time to organize them better. But it comes out the way it comes out, and I think I do a fairly good job of getting what I need. I think the gist of what we want to talk about today is status, standing, estate, things of that nature, how it relates to the republic system. I know we talked a little bit about it last week, and I guess you could say it's a continuation of what we kind of went over last week, and how things are separated from government and how it all works. Go ahead.
Well, mostly the first estate of man is as a free individual upon the land that God placed him on, wherever he obtained his consciousness. And walking about, he is free, except for his natural father. There would be no other authority unless did something to give someone authority, to give someone else power over his status or estate. And, of course, we see that from tribal constructions and actions. There's always somebody, some king, who wants to exercise authority over his brother and control him. And there's lots of different ways to do that. If he simply does it by force, you can throw him off by force. But if he does it by contract and by your participation, by your application, by your consent, then those bonds, in the eyes of God, are real. And that's one of the things they repeat over and over in the Bible. He says, go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen for yourselves. Well, that's, because I will not hear you in that day. I mean, God says this over and over again in the Bible, in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, that if we go whoring after these other men who set themselves up over, as gods over our personal estate, over our status, over our corporeal and incorporeal hereditaments of personality, then we go into bondage. We are entangled again in bondage. But most people don't understand, these words like estate and status and even the word state. It simply comes from the word status. So your status in a state will tell you what your estate is. And then the status in the federal government or its subsidiaries, now called states, which are really just corporations of the federal government today, no estate. You have no status except one of servitude. And it just absolutely astounds me where people go around and say the United States is the freest country in the world, and we're actually in a greater bondage than they were in Egypt, thousands of years ago. I mean, we make movies about their bondage. The reality is we're the ones that are in bondage worse than them. So I looked up a few quotes. Would use the word estate as you were talking at the beginning, because I just got in a minute or so before the show started. The definition of beneficial interest is the profit, benefit, or advantage resulting from a contract or the ownership of an estate as distinct from the legal ownership or control. So the beneficial interest is distinct from legal ownership. And beneficial interest is the right to the profits, benefits, and advantage of a contract or ownership. Most people don't know that in the definition of legal title is only an apparent title that carries with it no beneficial interest. So you pay $400,000 for a piece of property. You have no beneficial interest in that property. And if you think you do, stop paying the taxes for a couple years. Because those taxes, paying those taxes gives you the right to use that property because you don't own the beneficial interest. The beneficial interest is also called the beneficial use. Those are almost interchangeable terms. So you pay a use tax in order to use the property you thought you bought. All you bought was first lease on the property. And the government is your landlord. And if you stop paying rent in the form of property tax, they take the whole property away from you and sell it to somebody else who will pay rent. And in many states, you won't get a dime out of that sale. In the state of Oregon, they make sure that when they sell, you don't get a dime. If they take your $400,000 piece of property because you owed, $8,000, $10,000 taxes, and you're a widow and couldn't afford it and didn't know what to do and was confused about the papers that came in the mail, they'll take your property and you'll never see it again, and they'll sell it for $200,000-$300,000, and they'll keep all the money and you're just left out in the cold. People don't think that happens. That happens every day in many states across the nation because, you know, we've become an abominable nation. It isn't our leaders, it's us. Because we don't care about one another. We're all sitting there watching the TV or don't want to do anything. It's that apathy thing. So everybody is now serving upon the land. Forefathers. I just cringe when people talk about their forefathers, whoever those were. The early Americans actually proved up land to own it, to actually own the beneficial interest, where they were living on their land untaxed. Because that land was not subject to tax because they actually owned it. Now, everybody in America didn't own their own land, but most of the people that were in support of the so-called American Revolution, they actually owned their land. That's what they were talking about when they talked about the property class. The property class was the only ones they wanted to be able to vote. And that was actually part of the original 12 amendments. But they couldn't get that passed because if that were the case, everybody would want to own their own land and actually own it and do what is required to end up owning that land. Nobody does that anymore. I mean, we're a nation of ignorant, apathetic, enslaved people, and we're living on the laurels of the past, which most of us don't even understand. So that's rather depressing.
That have flat screens and a beer. That's all that counts.
And what's on the other channel?
I don't know. I got rid of cable years ago. I got tired of it.
I've never had cable, so.
You're one. Like I tell people, you're a better man than I am in many forms and ways. So I don't know. I'm just trying to catch up here. You got 30 years on me, maybe? I don't know.
I'm in my 60s.
20 years. So. I'm saying about being aware of it.
I started writing Covenants of the Gods probably about 30 years ago. A little bit more. Go ahead.
I was going to say, in regard to, let's take a phrase out, the Declaration of Independence that a lot of people like to quote or think is the supreme or paramount law of the land, whatever. It's not the paramount law of land, that's God's law. which would be natural lawn, the things that go around along with that. But as far as law in regards to the Declaration of Independence, it's more just it's just an indictment, some people call it, against the crown or the king at that time. But they say that governments are instituted by the consent of the governed to protect their rights to property. I'm paraphrasing, of course. I don't have it open in front of me, but that is one of the concepts that these guys put together. And there is some truth to that. I mean, we have to band together to protect our land and our rights. Do you see any kind of trickery in the Declaration of Independence? Or we know there's some truth to it, but how does that relate to maybe our estates?
Some of the things that were going on at that time, that's why I refer to the American Revolution as a so-called revolution, because the people weren't revolting. It was the king that was revolting. That's why they had the Declaration of Independence to list all the things that he was usurping. Those were usurpations, that big long list of things. He didn't have a right to do those things in America. Now, even men in Parliament argued on behalf of Americans, telling the king that he could impose some of these taxes, which were the complaint. You know, everybody says taxation without representation, and I point out, I says it doesn't say anything about that in the Declaration of Independence. And he says, oh, it's right in there. And we actually go and make them look it up, and they find out there's nothing in the Declaration of Independence about taxation without representation. There is something in there about taxation without consent. And that's much different than taxation without representation. You have to realize there was this huge body, and it wasn't the majority, but it was a huge body of men in America that really were free men. They were free men because by definition, even today in the Oxford Dictionary, a free man is someone having a freehold title or estate in land. He actually owns that land, and it is not subject to taxation. That's what makes him a free man, by at least one definition that has been paramount for centuries in British law, and also in American law, if anybody would take the time to look at its history. They don't want that in your school books, so don't go looking in your school books to find that. Because you might actually figure out some of the keys to freedom, which has to do with being responsible. If it's your land, you have to be responsible for it. You have to take care of it, which is what the Bible talks about, dress it and keep it. But so the Declaration of Independence is a list of the king was usurping. Now, he wasn't usurping that for everybody in America, because there were a lot of people in America who were subjects. You know, still, there's about four different kinds of passports you can get in England. I think it's actually five, because of the different statuses. In the United States, or at least let's put it back in America, back at the time of the Declaration of Independence, there were numerous statuses. There were slaves, there were English subjects, and there were English freemen. And then there were freemen who lived in America, just flat out. They weren't English subjects at all. And so you had this conglomerate of people here, and it was the men who owned property that wanted to stop these usurpations that were being blanketed across the board on Americans. And understanding the colonial charters and what the Americans were doing, which was not an apathetic approach to life, it was not laissez-faire involvement in the community. They didn't have cable then either. They were actually taking care of all their social welfare. They were local militia to protect against Indian invasion. They were the local constables and judges who were deciding issues of law and crime. I remember in 1619, House of Burgess passed the first laws in America against known crimes. Well, why'd you have to pass laws against it if you already knew it was a crime? It's a part of that two different types of government existing in the same place, different jurisdictions. One of them is more of an equitable king's jurisdiction, and the other, they were trying to get back to the common law, and many of them were working hard to do so. But others were not working hard to do so. And today, there are very few working hard to get back to that free status under God. Because we've gone a long ways away from that, and it's not going to be an easy road back. And it may be a sudden road back if the system continues to collapse.
The system will collapse, and I don't know, people are going to have to fend for themselves as you're trying to get people to work together locally, which is what needs to be done. Of course, I'm trying to get people on the same page in regard to the law until or if that happens. But if that does happen, it's my belief that they still have all these big toys that can destroy things, and they have the keys to those toys, so to speak. So they're going to try to stay in control even though the system collapses. So,
well, that's true to some degree, but it was, you know, one of the interesting statistics that I came across in my studies, and I can't remember the numbers exactly, but while over 50,000 Americans joined the British troops to fight the Americans who were taking a stand against the usurpations of the king, which he had no right to impose upon this large body of freemen in America, after the war was over, a very large percentage of the Hessians who had been hired to come here to America to suppress these freemen, because they couldn't get Englishmen to enthusiastically kill other Englishmen. They had to bring in Hessians. And, of course, George III was German than English. I think his father couldn't even speak English. His grandfather certainly couldn't. He had hired these Hessians as mercenary troops to kill Americans, but a very large percentage of them, and I can't remember, it was almost half or it was more than a third anyway, stayed in America to own land themselves. They saw this freedom. You know, these are the men that were killing them a few months before, but as soon as they got out of the service, they said, can we stay here rather than go back to Germany? Because they saw this opportunity for freedom, but you had to work for it. Now is that we've been under a socialist state since public schools were pervasive throughout the United States. And everybody has gone to the federal government to ask them how to be good citizens, and they said, well, it's pretty much the same as being a good slave. And that's what they said without actually using the slave word, the S word. But this is a pattern I see repeated over and over again. This should east of this rock called Earth. Every man should strive to own a piece of the land and learn to get along as a people and create a nation of people without a common purse where we all own each other's land. And there's a quote. I guess we're going to go to a break here in a minute, but I'll find that quote from Philos, which goes way back to the days of Moses and the ownership of land.
Yeah, these principles are constant, and as we've discovered and you have discovered, they're still there, but no one's willing to accept them in something else. And that's been going on for a long time now. So anyway, we'll continue this estate discussion after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com. FirstAmendmentRadio.net. around the world and on satellite. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Well, we're back. This is The Ultimate Remedy. My name is L.B. Bork. We're talking again this week with Gregory Williams. He has filled in as a guest today at the last minute. I appreciate that. Kind of continuing last week's discussion, which was on the Republic and the separation from the government, even as it's in its de facto state, we still have that access, and people are deciding to live under this new estate they've been given under the 14th Amendment. We're talking about those issues today. Before we get back into discussion, I wanted to mention that we have a talk show tonight. We're going to be talking about a lot of the people in the movement and their misunderstandings, and we're going to pretty much debunk everything in the movement based on their different assortment of existence, tax movements, the Tea Party type things, the tax protesters, sovereign crowd, you name it, and how futile they are. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, that people are trying to save their homes right now that they don't even own, and that's part and parcel to the discussion of today. I've had a lot of people throughout the years say, well, I want to put my land on a land patent. A lot of people think they can stop paying their mortgage and be free and clear and be a sovereign man on the land. Well, this is all nonsense. I first thing I tell them is, how can a slave own property? And a lot of them think that they can do these things by bypassing their own status. And if they've engaged, not only that, if they've engaged in contracts that make them liable, unfortunately, they're going to be subject to those commitments. Anyway, are you still there, Brother Gregory?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I got some weird sound coming over my headset, and I don't know if that was you or what was going on. But anyway.
I wouldn't know. I didn't hear it. But anyway, I'm still here. What you were saying about status, that is absolutely essential. You cannot own land unless you have a free status. And then that, once you have that free status, you can actually own land, but you still have obligations that you may have to meet in order to come to that point where you actually own the land. I've seen guys sell 100,000 or more on the tax roll. His mommy was paying the taxes every year. But he was selling these land patents boasting that, I haven't paid taxes on this property in 10 years. Well,
that,
his mommy
that's
was.
That's a deceiver.
Yeah. And I've seen another guy doing that, and it was his dad paying the taxes. So,
a dog, how'd they manage that? I've heard of human resources, but not phyto resources.
Anyway, the funny thing is it didn't take much research for us to find out that these guys were not telling the truth. And when we brought the truth to other people, they didn't want to believe it.
Oh, I know.
You know, they wanted to believe the lie and pay people to tell them the lie. It's very frustrating because I'm in the truth business.
Well, you and I both go through that, and I've been demonized by people because of that. They don't want to hear the truth, and you tell them, well, you think you're a sovereign, but yet you're collecting Social Security. I'm sorry, you can't be on these de jure grand juries. You can't do this. You can't do that because this. You're doing this. You're in this other state. You're in that within that estate. You can't be in that one and this one. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, for if they're paying, they're the ones you pray to for your daily bread, and that's what you're doing when you're getting these benefits. And I'm not condemning anybody who's stuck in a position where they need those benefits, actually need them. But the reality is, let's not kid ourselves, you are in bondage. Now, if you want to do something about it, let's set the table of the Lord where you don't need those benefits anymore, and you can take care of yourself, or at least you can be taken care of in a community of people who actually care about you. This is what Moses was doing. This is what Abraham was doing. This is what Jesus Christ was doing. And it worked. Rome went through all the things that we're about to face, except for we'll probably go through them way faster. It will hit us way harder than it hit Rome. And millions will die. But if you would actually adhere to these principles of the Republic of Christianity, which Israel was a republic, early Christian church was called a republic by historians. It was called a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire, because people actually started taking their responsibilities back, and they were able to get through these hard times. And you actually hear a lot of people in even the media now talking about that, taking about back your responsibilities. But how do we do that? That's some of the things that you and I talk about. That's what I write about all the time. How did they do it before? How can we do it now? But one of the things everybody has to do is start understanding what we've been doing wrong and be honest enough to admit it so that you can recognize the problem. Actually, somebody on that group that I know you've been, you know, I'm on that same group, and we've been, I've read all the emails because I read a few paragraphs, sometimes a few sentences, sometimes I just read who sent it and I delete it. But somebody wrote, I don't care how we got here. I just want a remedy. Well, I don't think you can figure out the remedy unless you figure out how you got to where you are. It's like saying, I want to know the way back, but I don't want to know how I got here. Well, that's how you find the way back.
Well, in another vein, it's like, how can you keep this from happening again if you don't know what happened?
Absolutely, absolutely. You're just going to fall into the same trap. Because you're doing it again because you did not miss. He says, I don't want to know how I got here. I just want to get back. Well, you just tap your red shoes together and say there's no place like home and close your eyes and you'll be there. Because that's the kind of fairy tale land you live in, is that you think you can just do that. Well, no, you're going to have to journey back. And that's why Christ's gospel begins with repent, and that actually means turn around and seek the kingdom of God, which is the right to be ruled by God instead of all those small g gods that are ruling you right now. And you know, we've actually had kind of a revival in some of our groups lately because people have actually started reading the books. We had lots of people joining the groups because they read an article. Okay. But now they're actually reading the books and they're saying, wow, holy smokes, I didn't realize this. So we have a huge amount of material there, and we tried to lay it out so you can understand it. There's been a great cry lately for me to kind of write a beginner's manual, you know, for Kingdom of Heaven 101, or maybe Kingdom of Heaven for Dummies.
I've been asked to do that.
Level, which I don't mind doing. Go ahead. You were saying?
I said I've been asked to make a Red Amendment for Dummies. It's really hard to think back, you know, or think simply, because you end up going forward at a, you know, accelerated explanation rate. And it's kind of hard for me. I've had people, you know, say they would do it for me, but of course I haven't seen it yet. And how that goes.
I could give you a long list of people who say, I'll do that for you.
Right. Hasn't happened, but we can only pray that it might. You know, going back to what you said a second ago or a minute ago about people, there's these, most of the people out there in this movement look at emails with sound bites, for lack of better words, in it, and or listen to someone give them sound bites verbally on these talk shows and things, and they fall for all these lies. I'm telling you right now, Tim Turner, and I have no qualms about saying it, is one of the biggest smooth-talking con men out there right now. This guy, I listened to him on a tape or a YouTube, and he had everything under the sun from the movement in his spiel or his con job to suck people in, that's in the movement. He even quoted something that was unique to the deprogramming sequence on the PAC site. But I've been told by numerous people that if you go to a seminar and ask him specific questions about things, he cannot answer them. Because
we saw another guy, I won't say what his name is, well, maybe I will, guy Living Way,
right,
who made Sovereigns Without Subjects anyway. And some of the guys in that are probably legitimately sincere, so I don't want to cast everybody in the same boat. But they produced a CD, two CDs, and people paid $600 to get these CDs. And these CDs were nothing more than telephone conversations. You know, they recorded, you know, kind of conversations. You had to pay $600 to get these two CDs, and they were just scratched on them with a marker, you know, grade school or high school and college. And people paid that for them. You know, we've got 20, 30, maybe 50 hours of recordings covering a vast level of layer of subjects, you know, detailing out information. I have all my books on the net for free. And and people don't appreciate it. You have to promise them a lie, and then charge them a lot of money for it, and then they'll believe it. That, you know, it's like you got to, you know, put the bait on the hook, so to speak. We don't have any hooks.
Right.
We fish with nets.
Uh-oh.
No, well, we fish with a network. You got to become the net. You're the net. And that's one of the things that a lot of the guys are discovering now, and I think are starting to realize that the network, you're the network. You can't join us, and then we'll do everything for you. If you don't want to be participating and do for yourself and for others, there's no place for you in the network. Because this is about taking back responsibility.
What did Christ say about fishing? Give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach him to fish, he can fish for a lifetime.
Yeah, that's an old thing.
Feed himself.
That's certainly true. But it is that the early church, or the early kingdom of God, whatever you want to call it, was a network of people. And the only thing that bound them together was faith, hope, and charity. They actually had to have real relationships. It's like the band of brothers, and that's what you need. But we were going to talk about estates, and we're getting off the subject, and maybe we'll take a turn back to that subject. I came across this quote. It says, any congregation, church, or society heretofore incorporated under the provisions of any law for the incorporation of religious societies may become incorporated under the provisions of this act, referring to an act of a given state, relative to religious societies in the same manner as if it had not previously been incorporated, in which case the new corporation shall be entitled to and invested with all the real personal estate of the old corporation in like manner and to the same extent of the old corporation, subject to all the debts, contracts, and liabilities. What they just said there, and they go on further to say it, but I won't read the whole thing, is that if you get incorporated under the state as a church, all other previous incorporation and estate is now under the authority of the state. They recognize that you may already be incorporated in the state, but not under the provisions of their statutes. And what all the churches have gone and incorporated under the state. And the previous incorporation under Christ is null and void as if it never happened. And they're now under the authority of the state. That's very much... And why would they incorporate then? In order to get state benefits and state protection. And that's
communism.
What people do.
Communism.
People go to the state and they say, well, protect me. Protect me from old age. Protect me from injury. Protect me from unemployment. Protect me from disability. And then you think you don't lose some control over your life when you give them the responsibility of maintaining your life? You
tit
have to
for
be
tat.
Delusional.
Tit for tat, quid pro quo.
Yep. And so
you can't get benefits without taking the liabilities that go along with it.
Which is your responsibility for everybody else. And I couldn't list off now on this show how many places in the Bible it warns us not to do that. Proverbs 1. Proverbs 23, what agreement do we have with these unbelievers who don't live by faith? You've seen the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other. It is not to be that way with you. But yet those men call themselves benefactors. Those are the words of Christ saying we're not to be like that. But every single Christian church sends their people to the benefactors who exercise authority. And you think you're going to stay free? Protection draws subjection. We just recently saw Mark Fearon.
He
quoted that. Protection draws subjection.
Right.
To promote his argument.
Right.
The reality is that that's for us. Well, that's our argument.
Yeah, but this guy's duplicitous in his nature, because he's a disinformation agent, I believe. So
yes.
He's going to be doing that constantly, because he's trying to protect what is wrong or vile. So, you know, it's bound to happen. He actually said in one other quote he quoted, that men aren't angels, they have to be controlled. So that's, like you said, he's a fascist.
And he's already condemned everybody.
He's condemned.
Governments are instituted to control the wicked. And most of the wicked go and join the government.
Yeah, they do. They're to join. And this movement's so divided, and we're going to be talking about that on the talk show tonight. If you want to join us, you go to packandlaw.org/packshoe, PACSHOE, or talk show at packandlaw.org/talk show. You can join us tonight on the call. And right now, we're talking about estate, which is basically status or what you have title to lawfully or legally in the sense of the 14th Amendment system. And most of the people have subjected themselves to this. And I know Brother Gregory has stated that subject to the jurisdiction is open to interpretation. And a lot of early court cases have said that. But I run into a lot of people that like to cite these old court cases. For what Feisner case basically stated that income was the profit of a corporation. Okay, fine and good. However, the Congress came along and made income, they redefined it. So now, you know, do corporations pay alimony like in the listed things of, I think it's Title 26, Section 61, I believe, the items that are taxable items? Well, guess what? The Eisner case is no longer applicable. It's old hat. It's no good anymore. So these people that are bringing up these old cases, these guys change the rules all the time. So case law is not gospel. I want to tell you that. The first rule of studying law, people, don't read case law, because if you don't know the factors that are involved, you're not going to be able to figure out what they're talking about. So you can learn from them, but case law, but you need to know what they're talking about first, and that's what we're talking about today.
There's a huge amount of bad case law out there, and then you also have to look at the date of every single one of those cases, and really need a darn case to find out what is the subject matter they're making these decisions based on.
Right.
The legislature now might say that, you know, define that your wages and salaries are income, but who are they defining that for? Are they defining that for free individuals or people who are sucking the tit of government? In other words, who have signed up for the benefits and have become participators. I mean, where does their jurisdiction, they're making laws for their children because they're the daddy who's offering you protection. The relationship of Americans to their government has vastly changed from 1700s, from the 1600s. And so, you know, these people who go to these meetings and say, we're doing the same thing that our forefathers did. Well, you're not even close. Not even close to what they did.
Yeah, your state's not even right or correct. Or lawful.
Right. Here's a, you know, the recent one of the recent books I've published is The Higher Liberty, which is centered around, at least at the beginning of it anyway, I kind of seduced people into reading it with Romans 13, because that's such a controversial deal. And in it, Romans 13 says, let every man remain subject to the higher power. And the word power there is exousia, which is actually the Greek word for liberty or right. And so people don't understand what it's saying, and nobody wants you to understand, but that book will tell you. But in the book, I give the definition of exousia right out of Concordance. It says the power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases. It's from the word ousia, which means what one has, i.e. property, possession, estate. Well, that goes back to the beginning of the program when I said the estate of man in his natural state, uncontracted to all the world, is a free soul under God. And that is your higher estate. That is your exousia. That is your liberty. That is your original beginning estate, is a free soul under God. If you're not a free soul under God, you've probably done something wrong order to become this this man in bondage. Christ did not come to deliver you back into Egypt, which is where American Christians are today, and most Christians throughout the world. They're back in Egypt, even worse than it was in Egypt. They only had to pay 20% income tax. Today they have to pay way more. It's time people start repenting and turning around and doing something completely different. In order to do that, you got to do more than send emails and listen to radio programs. You got to meet with other people and start interacting in real ways. Because sound bites won't feed you when there ain't no food in the grocery store.
Well, you said a lot of people criticize the Bible. You said approximately 70% of the Bible is how to live free under the law of the Creator.
Yeah, it's about good government and bad government. If
right.
if you criticize and understand it, you got to read our books.
That's it. And aside your books, which explains the Bible, the Red Amendment has been said by many to be second only to the Bible in understanding the slavery that we've been put under. Well, we're out of time. So thanks for joining us.
It's been fun.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Join us next week on The Ultimate Remedy. Good night, folks.